All right, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN with you on a Thursday in Buffalo and Western New York. How you doing? Having a good day? I'm having a very good day because I was involved in a very intimate conversation before airtime with a crow. I think the crow was talking to me. I was a bit of a mockingbird making my crow noises. I'd hear what the crow said. I would repeat it. And I'll be darned if he was looking at me, he or she. How do you tell with a crow? I love those corvids. Oh, they're magnificent, smart, intelligent critters. But I don't know. I got to figure out a way to sneak strawberries to it and maybe some watermelon because crows, did you know that they can see UV as well as they're excellent vision with colors, in particular red. They don't just see red. They practically taste red. They can actually see urine trails of animals. It's amazing. Don't you wish you had eyesight like that? Anyway, I'm bound and determined to have a crow friend. It's my goal in life. The little things really matter as you get older. So welcome to the program. WBEN Arthur Pressman Traffic Attorney Time is coming up on 3:11. And this morning, well, how did your day start out? My day started out like this. I was reading an email from one of our people here at News Radio 930. WBEN, and I started shaking my head, and I could feel, you ever have one of those stories or emails that you read, and you actually feel yourself having a visceral gut reaction to it? Like, you start getting very irritated and angry by it, and you just don't think you can take it anymore. And yes, you want to go scream at the lake, but common sense gets the better of you, and you decide that is not a good look, because the first time you go screaming at a lake, somebody's going to have their cell phone, somebody's going to videotape, and you will go viral in a way you really didn't want to go viral. So anyway, I'm reading this. Here's what I read this morning, and I want to give you my thoughts on what I read this morning. First of all, let's see. The Erie County DA says that judges and the political class had nothing to do with the murder of Amanda Thompson. Okay, I kind of thought that a judge had some discretion, not only over issues of is somebody a flight risk, but over issues of public safety. I've gotten two different answers from two different legal experts, so I have to shrug my shoulders and say, yeah, I don't know. But clearly, the system, which was set up by lawmakers, has to be changed. If judges have no latitude, then, do you think you might want to blame the lawmakers for that? Or is that a constitutional issue under the Sixth Amendment? I don't know. Bail is not supposed to be punitive, but I don't remember any talk of bail for the Topps mass murdering racist scumbag. Do you? Because I don't remember any talk of bail. Nobody wanted him out on bail. He probably would have had a very short life had he been released on bail, frankly. But I don't get it. I just don't understand it. I truly don't. But anyway, that's why I'm not a lawyer. Anyway, I don't like ambiguity. I like black and white, although I've come to appreciate Shades of Grey. It's a fine song by the Grateful Dead. So the State Board of Parole has unanimously, now there wasn't any dissenting vote here whatsoever. The State Board of Parole has unanimously voted to repeal existing regulations for the release of criminal offenders under the age of 18 and proposed new language that gives great weight, that's a quote, great weight to the characteristics of youths, including their psychology and brain function. The proposed changes expand the factors that parole board commissioners can consider when deciding whether to approve or deny release for minor offenders serving up to life for crimes committed before they were 18. Well, guess what? If they got a life sentence for crimes they committed before they were 18 in New York State in this day and age in recent times, they had to have killed somebody, right? Are we going to say that? They had to have killed somebody? Because how else would they get a life term in New York State? You can steal a car. You can steal 80 cars and probably just get a slap on the wrist, especially if you are a youth in New York State. Because, again, this state of New York has been set up to basically make those of you who work for a living and pay your taxes and just try to have a better life for yourself and your family suffer, while the people who can't play by the rules get all the benefit of the breaks. It's really strange how that works. The changes, anyway, are in line with research on adolescent brain development and decision-making. The proposed regulations will be published in the State Register. Have you read that lately? I've not gotten my copy. August 13th, and are subject to a 60-day public input period. The changes do not create a presumption that minors are entitled to parole solely based on their age at the time of the crime. Well, if they're going to give great weight to the age and the brain development at the age the crime was committed, I would suspect that many more violent youthful offenders are going to be released than are already released. And to be somebody under 18 and to get a serious sentence in New York State, do you think we're talking about theft of a motor vehicle, grand larceny, grand theft auto? I think not. I think we have to be talking about murder. Seriously, am I wrong here? Because I just don't see any other way a kid is going to get a sentence of life. Now, I was thinking about this as I was reading this little snippet here that, okay, isn't it weird that we are... And this actually ties into something that I wanted to do as a topic, and I might whip it out to, oh, hotkey, please. I think we need Blazing Saddles commentary when I use that expression. Tanner Saunders, if you would, sir.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
It's always a good day for Cleavon Little and Blazing Saddles, not going to lie. But if we are going to say that 18-year-olds and under 18-year-olds cannot logically form a thought, that they are subject to the lack of development of their brains, in particular the frontal lobe of the brain, then can somebody please tell me why we let 18-year-olds vote? Why would we let people who cannot make rational decisions and who fail to appreciate the difference between right and wrong vote? Maybe it's time to raise the voting age to 26, because that's the age under which your kid can be on your health insurance. So I say raise the voting age to 26 years of age. If that is the new grown-up, if that is the new adult, if kids cannot think rationally, why in the hell are we letting them vote? Oh, but wait, there's more. If they can't make rational decisions, why would we let them join the military? Why would we let them join the armed forces? Maybe that age should be raised to 26. Why not? Now, there are reasons why militaries around the world say the younger, the better. And I'm not talking about the Jeffrey Epstein sense. I'm talking about the younger somebody is, the more easily they are controlled and you can wire their brains. You get somebody my age, we'd be at boot camp saying, yeah, you know what? Bite me. I mean, but a kid is not going to do that. But we've been around a little bit. But see, I also don't think older people should be exempt from the draft. There are things we could do logistically that would be awesome and great help to the military. There are things we know as older guys and older ladies that the younger people don't know. We could take a load off the military if they'd only draft us if the need ever arose to bring back the draft. I don't think I should be exempt from the draft by virtue of age. Maybe a few other things, mental capacity, physical endurance, those things, yeah, but not because of age solely. So anyway, I don't understand. I mean, riddle me this. I want you to think back to the time when you were 15, 16, 17 years old. Can you remember those times? Maybe you were a freshman in high school, a junior, a sophomore, maybe a senior. I was 17 when I was a senior in high school, I think. I don't remember. That's the age thing coming back. But anyway, I will tell you this much. And I think that most of you are going to agree with this, that the sense of really, really right and really, really wrong was very present, not only with the voice you're hearing now, but with every single cohort in the group, every single individual in the cohort. We all knew, for example, it's wrong to do a drive-by shooting of somebody. We didn't have drive-by shootings back then. I was thinking about this. What is the worst thing you did before the age of 18? And why didn't you do even more bad stuff? Curious. Because when many of us were 15, 16, 17 years old, maybe even a little bit younger, the worst thing that somebody could do, and this is going to sound really funny in 2025, smoking pot. My goodness, you know, chances are that if you were 15 years old in the 1970s, that if your parents busted you smoking weed, it would be pretty much the end of the world for you. And there were a few kids, okay, who might have dabbled in some of the harder drugs that are out there. Certainly not heroin that I was ever aware of or heard talked about. I heard hash talked about when I was growing up. I heard acid talked about when I was growing up. Did not hear a lot of cocaine talked about when I was growing up. It just wasn't a thing. I guess if you're in high school, you couldn't really afford it. But the situation is that I'm thinking about fundamental right and fundamental wrong. And didn't you basically know that serious transgressions against the law and other people were really, really bad things to do, and you shouldn't do them when you were a lot younger than 14, 15, 16, 17 years of age? Because I know I did. And there was another thing that many, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, but there was another thing that was always in the back of the mind of people who grew up in my generation. Get off my lawn, by the way. It's cold in here. Have you noticed it's cold in here? There's a draft from somewhere. Sorry, thought I'd do old guy for you. Thank you. Thank you. I do that very well, don't I? But anyway, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Why are we like this the way we are right now, where, okay, if somebody commits or has committed a crime which was enough to get them life in prison, the new probation standard is that we're going to put great weight on the age at the time the crime was committed, but then we let 18-year-olds vote, we let them join the military. I'm sorry, that doesn't compute with me. If you're not mature at the age of 18, you should not be allowed to vote. If 26 is the new age of maturity, raise the voting age to 26. Anybody agree or disagree with that? And at the same time, raise the age for enlisting in the military to 26. Because how can babies make a decision about enlisting in the military? Do they really understand the consequences of what they're signing up for? Do they understand that they're going to be on a bus late at night, they're going to get off at about 2 in the morning, and then they're going to have to do a million push-ups? Do they get that? Do they understand that they're really putting their lives on the line for the United States of America? Do they really get that? And if we're going to assign the same mental capacity to criminals at the age of under 18 that we do to people who just turned 18 for other things like voting and the military, that seems to me to be a little bit hypocritical, and it seems to me to be very, very inconsistent. I think that should be self-evident to pretty much everybody. But anyway, getting back to it, growing up, I can think of maybe a couple of kids who got busted shoplifting. Ooh, shoplifting. And that was a big deal. Kids in the classroom talked about it. Hey, so-and-so got picked up for shoplifting. Well, what happened? Well, nothing really, but their parents are really, really upset. Nobody expected them to have a hand chopped off. Nobody expected them to do 15 to life or 15 to 25 at Attica. But there were consequences. There were repercussions. And I know that this is not a new thought. If you go back and you listen to some of the old Dragnet shows from the 1950s, My Name is Friday, I Carry a Badge, the very repressed Joe Friday, played by Jack Webb, an absolute genius. Without Jack Webb, there wouldn't be Law and Order SVU or Law and Order the original. You are aware of that, right? Okay, thank you. So the idea that children know they can commit horrible crimes and get away with it because of the sob sisters, that was a Dragnet expression that you, I listened to that last night to get ready for the show. But the sob sisters, there was an episode involving a kid in a gang on the old Dragnet, 1950s, and before the worst thing could possibly happen happens, the detectives are talking to this kid, and the father is in a total state of denial about his kid's juvenile delinquency and what's going to happen in the future, what could happen in the future. And the kid says, yeah, you can't touch me. I'm 16 years old, and if you do anything to me, every sob sister in the state is going to be calling for your head. And then Joe Friday came up with one of his always awesome replies. Joe Friday was like everybody's dad when I was growing up. I mean, you know what I'm saying. But we all wanted Mike Brady, though. From the Brady Bunch, and we got Jack Webb and Joe Friday. Strange. So anyway, the situation with crime and younger offenders. Should great weight be given to the age of an offender for terms of probation and getting out, proving yourself that you are able to deal well with others? I have a problem with that, because we're excusing behavior because the behavior, one of the elements of it was that the brain is just not fully developed and able to make rational decisions. And yet I'm guessing the same people on the parole board, if you said to them, well, we should probably raise the voting age to 26 then to make sure everybody's got full frontal lobes. And yeah, we should probably make sure nobody can join the military in New York State until they're 26 years old either, because if we've established that you are incapable and incompetent to make your own decisions and you need a guardian ad litem, well, then why wouldn't you? Strange. What do you make of all this? Seriously. And what was the worst thing? Like, when you were growing up, was there, did anybody rip off a car? Anybody steal a car? I heard about some kids at a Williamsville high school who ripped off the driver ed car and somehow got a key to the school and went in and ripped off some tests way back when. Interestingly, some of those people are on the job as Amherst PD right now. And by the way, don't laugh. There is something to be said for people who have a bit of a criminal background getting into law enforcement, because who is better at knowing how the bad guys think than by people who almost walked down that path? It's not the worst thing ever. And France showed that with the Surette and a guy named Vidocq. Mentioned him a few months ago. And he was a guy who was a lifelong criminal until he had a chance to reform himself. And then he became one of the leading authorities on law enforcement in France and Western Europe. True story. Vidocq is his name. Starts with a V. I'll let you figure out what that letter is. So, what do you make of the Board of Probation in New York State saying we're going to give great weight to the age of somebody when the crime was committed? Because in some cases, we have people doing life in prison for acts they committed before they were 18. So that has to be murder. Am I wrong? Those of you who are COs who can shed some light on this, I would love to hear from COs. I'd love to hear from POs, for that matter, because you deal with this all the time. And I know that it's not new. See, here's the thing. I know that it isn't new, because listening to the 1950s Dragnet episode, clearly juvenile delinquency has been around for a long time, and serious juvenile delinquency. The Dragnet episode I mentioned ended with a gang homicide. Truly ended with a gang homicide and some poor little kid getting killed in a ricochet or a misdirected shot. We'll put it that way. I don't want to give away the ending and be a spoiler on you. I know, I'm not exactly talking about Yellowstone here. It's 3:27 at News Radio 930 WBEN. So youthful offenders and their brain capacity, do you see also like a little bit of a disconnect here? Why we are going to say that you're not really a grown-up. You're not ready for the grown-up world at under 18 or just turning 18. And we're going to keep you on mom and dad's health insurance until you're 26. And by the way, you can vote, though. That's fine. And you can make a big commitment to join the military at the age of 18. You're fine for that. Okay, that's okay. But everything else, you're not old enough. You're not mature enough. I think it's kind of weird, personally. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. All right, some rain in Western New York. We need it, right? Got to get some rain. It is Bowerly News Radio 930 WBEN. Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney, time is 3:39. And my day started off today. This is before I started conversing with the Crow, which was really a highlight of the day, not going to lie. The New York State Board of Parole has unanimously voted to repeal existing regulations for the release of criminal offenders under the age of 18 and proposed new language that gives great weight to the characteristics of youth, including their psychology and brain function. The proposed changes expand the factors that parole board commissioners can consider when deciding whether to approve or deny release for minor offenders serving up to life for crimes committed before they were 18. Can we just examine that sentence? Minor offenders serving up to life for crimes committed before they were 18. That's an interesting thing because minor can have two meanings. It can mean somebody under the age of majority, or it can mean something that wasn't all that big a deal. I'm going to presume in this case we're talking about the age and not being a big deal. Because if a kid is doing life, we're talking about murder, okay? Really. The changes are in line with research on adolescent brain development and decision making. The proposed regulations will be published in the State Register on August 13th. Public input is going to be gotten, but you guys will not bother to give public input, but the people who believe that nobody should ever be incarcerated ever, they're going to have lots of input. They'll show up at the meetings. You won't, but then you're going to wonder why your car gets stolen and crashed into a tree or stripped of all of its parts, and why if you're a trucker, somebody broke into the tractor part of the rig and ripped off your engine regulator so they could sell it for spare parts to some guy in Texas. Oh, that happens. They just busted a big ring of Cuban nationals in the United States illegally who had gone into about 100 tractor trailers, and they had basically deprived those truckers of the ability to make a living. They were ripping off important parts of the engine and then selling them for big dollars to a fence in Texas, who would then sell them to other truckers whose engine control thingy... I don't mean to use such technical terms. Engine control thingy. Yeah. The regulator, whatever it is. They're very, very expensive. And sometimes in trucks, they die. And this guy in Texas was buying the shall we say, reconditioned? Amazon? Reconditioned engine thingies, probably at pennies on the dollar, and selling them for thousands, no doubt, to the... unsuspecting truckers who did not know they were getting somebody else's stolen stuff from the truck. But anyway, I don't understand this whole idea in New York State, because, you know, juvenile delinquency is nothing new. But am I the only person who thinks in the older days, yeah, get off my lawn, and it is kind of cold in here, you must admit. In the older days, didn't you think that there were some consequences for what you did? And did the consequences, whether they be legal in the legal system or whether they be at home, that the consequences kind of held your destructive urges in check? I'm curious. And it just seems as though in the modern era, not even the 2025 modern era, but the post-World War II era, that things are just out of whack if people think, I mean, there's a certain mindset, and I don't have that mindset, but there's a certain mindset. If people think they can get away with something, they're going to push the limits and they're going to do mischief. They're going to do crimes because they know there are no repercussions. They're not going to have their liberty infringed upon, and they're not going to be welcomed into a very bad environment for a very long period of time. And the other thing, too, I was thinking is that there's obviously the repercussion situation. That's big. But when you were not quite 18 yet, did you not know the fundamental difference between right behavior and wrong behavior? This is what I'm trying to wrap myself around. And I can't seem to get there, because anybody with whom I grew up in the neighborhood or going to school in the town of Tonawanda, the Kenton District, there's nobody who ever said, you know what, I'm going to kill this guy tonight. I'm gonna do a drive-by shooting tonight. Or we didn't hear about anybody involved in homicide or severe acts of horrible violence. It just was not a thing. And I attribute that, anyway, at least in part, to a knowledge of fundamental right and fundamental wrong. And it just strikes me as being absolutely bizarre that we would have children in society today who don't even know the difference between fundamental right and fundamental wrong in dealing with other people and dealing with other people's property. But yeah, property can be replaced. Somebody's life cannot be replaced, let's face it. But now, having said all of that, certainly there are cases of people who have done some very terrible things when they were kids, who did grow up into far worse and more violent criminals. But also, there are some people who actually reformed. There are some people who learned the error of their ways. And I just get the sense that this New York situation, the Board of Parole, when they say we're going to give great weight to somebody's age when they committed a very heinous act, that's just going to give them an excuse to release these kids who are not rehabilitated, they're not reformed, and they're probably going to end up doing somebody else in down the line. Of course, that never happens, right? We can ask Amanda Thompson's family about that, because the suspected killer killed somebody years ago and now is going to face another trial for taking somebody else's life. Innocent until proven guilty, by the way. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. So many things I don't understand. And I really don't understand how we can say somebody is not mature enough to make a rational decision, but they can still vote. And that doesn't make sense. You're on WBEN. Diane, hello.
Oh, hi, Tom. I've been listening to you, and you keep saying kids, kids, kids. Well, you have to mention that boys are the ones who are all in the big trouble. Girls are mostly, especially teenage girls, they don't want to get in trouble. And
you don't know a lot of police officers. Diane, you don't know a lot of cops, do you?
I have a daughter, and I had daughters, friends in the neighborhood.
That's a selective cross-section. As somebody who knows a lot of cops have told me, Tom, the women, the girls these days are worse than the boys. Check it out.
I don't believe it.
I've heard the stories.
Okay.
So I'm sorry that you're offended. I'm sorry that you're offended when I say kids and I don't say the young boys. I'm sorry that you feel that way, but it just isn't true.
Well, okay. So the girls are worse than the boys. The girls are raping and shooting and murdering the boys.
Females can actually commit rape. I don't know if you're aware of that, but they can.
Well, it's
usually with
one
the females.
Out of a million.
Let me tell you what it is with the females. It's usually assaults, sometimes serious assaults, and it almost always is over a boy. And it's not that uncommon.
Well, I don't believe it's so in the suburbs.
You don't believe it's so what?
In the suburbs, maybe in the city. You know, some of the minorities
it's actually quite common in all socioeconomic groups. It's not an urban thing. It is an everywhere thing. For some reason, the girls in a lot of cases have proven to be worse than the boys, usually over a boy. It doesn't matter where they live.
Okay,
I've heard the stories.
All right, but I think overall girls are way less trouble than boys.
Okay, you're entitled to your belief.
Yeah.
I'm not here to change your mind. If that's how you believe, that's how you believe.
When you speak, I wish you would, mention that, the boys are the ones that are in the mad.
Okay, Diane, we've been over this. Okay, this is starting to become very circular. We've been over this. Shall I say it in German? Would that penetrate or not? I'm not trying to be mean here, but I think I've explained myself quite clearly. You just don't want to hear it. You're under this misguided delusion that girls are pure and virtuous and are, at home with their little toy ovens making little cupcakes, and that's just not happening. That's just not it.
Most girls, my dear, would you afford me on my show?
Okay, Diane, we're going to say goodbye, okay, because you don't want to talk. Have a nice day. I thought we could have a conversation, but I wasn't allowed to speak on my own show, and that makes me feel very, very bad. I feel horrible. But seriously, I'd like your input on that too, by the way, because I know more than a couple of cops in the Western New York area, and most of them actually are suburban cops. And you would be amazed at the stories that I've heard. And the expression, Tom, the girls these days are worse than the boys. I've heard that from more people who are on the job than I could even begin to count, okay? Because, again, you run into these people, they talk, and they trust me. And I'm not saying boys are virtuous and clean. They're not. But girls, again, it's assault, it's hair pulling, it's bullying, it is gang bullying, and it is always over a boy. Like 100, okay, I can't say 100%, but all right, it's almost always, 98% of the time, over a boy. Oh, she smiled at my boyfriend. Boom! Right to the moon. That's actually happening. And it's girls. Girls are not wearing pretty pink dresses and bows in their hair and little white socks up to their knees. And it's not that era. The girls have learned some very bad things, probably from the boys or maybe from media, movies. I don't know. But look at any video on Facebook or online, any video of these assaults that take place, like Cincinnati. Oh, I'm sorry, Cincinnati, the one that didn't happen, apparently. But Cincinnati, what did you see? You saw women who are basically just older girls involved in a gang assault on a bunch of white people in Cincinnati. They weren't boys. They weren't men. There were girls there, too. And they were very big on kicking the dude when he was down. I mean, and it's always fair when you have a 6-on-1 fight or, you know, 60-on-1 fight. That's always fair. So, yeah, in conclusion, I do not understand where we are as a society, where we say that people should not be held as responsible for what they do as children. But yet the minute you turn 18, you can vote for your favorite Democrat. I'm sorry, you can vote, and yet you can also join the military because, and by the way, you got to be in your parents' health insurance until you're 26 because, you know what? I don't think, and the topic I wanted to link to this was, does it seem to you as though the younger people today are growing up later and later and later? I mean, just think about this for a minute. How many of you had a mom who was 18 or 19 years old when she birthed you? How many? I bet more than a couple of people saying, yeah, that was me. Okay. Now, at what point did you feel as though you were a grown-up human being? I must admit, mentally, I'm still waiting. But basically, I've faked it since maybe 24, 25, 26 years old. No, maybe 21, 22. I felt like a grown-up human being. I mean, I knew that not too much was going to change in terms of the cerebral capacity, except it would probably decline with time. And I've been proven right on that. But it just seems to me that our parents were a lot more grown up when they were in their, let's say, early 20s than maybe we were. And maybe we were a lot more grown up than our children are today. And I don't know why. I don't know what is causing that. Is it the hormones in milk? I have no idea. But at some point, well, okay, look at the number of younger people who are living at home. Well, living at home, yeah, Tom, it's the economy. Nobody can afford an apartment. Nobody can afford a house. Okay, houses have always been kind of expensive. Apartments have always been kind of expensive. And I have this theory. Maybe we'll get into it tomorrow or some other time. But a lot of young people are into socialism. They think socialism is the way to go. What do you think is driving this in the Democrat Party right now? It's younger people. And there's a big split and chasm in the Democrat Party between younger Democrats and older Democrats. The younger people want socialism. Why would they want socialism? Because they're living at home with their folks or maybe a parent. They don't know what it's like to pay income taxes. They don't know what it's like to pay heavy-duty income taxes or write a check for property taxes. They're absolutely clueless. All they know is, hey, socialism is going to give me more free stuff. Maybe I can get a free apartment and a free house out of this deal before too long. But again, how many times have people said this? And this is just a cliche, but I think it's true. Problem with socialism is sooner or later you run out of other people's money. And I will end this part of the program with a funny story from the UK and Prime Minister Winston Churchill. And I will have to use great decorum in telling you this story. Winston Churchill, who, by the way, flipped between Labour and Tory. He was like all over the place politically. He was kind of like an opportunist in a way. But anyway, make a long story short. When Churchill was a conservative, he was in the men's room. And some other guys who were Labour, left wing, were also in the men's room. And Churchill went many, many feet away from the Labour guys in order to relieve himself with a pee-pee. And one of the guys in the left wing said, "Winston, how come you're standing so far away from us?" And Churchill supposedly said, "Because every time you see something big, you want to nationalize it." I always liked that story. I hope it's true. 3:56 at News Radio 930 WBEN. We'll get into some other things coming up after the news at 4. I want to get into the whole autism thing because that's something else that I find fascinating. Oh, and by the way, the pediatrician people are calling for an end to non-medical vaccine exemptions for school attendance. Is medical tyranny raising its ugly head again? We'll get you more details coming up on News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney time is 4:09. And I want to do, I want to spend some time talking about something that I don't think we've actually done a show on this since the 1990s. I could be wrong. I don't track these things, but it seems to me that I just haven't carried my weight. And maybe some of it is guilt, because back in the 1990s, doing the early morning show on what is now the sports station, I bought into what was told to me by what I considered to be authoritative sources who knew of what they were speaking with respect to autism. And despite the fact that many people in my life were having kids and the kids became autistic and they all cited it was after the vaccines, I said to myself, well, I know that these parents are very emotionally invested in their child. They're probably not thinking rationally because the science and the doctors are saying it has nothing to do with the vaccine. So I'll say it has nothing to do with the vaccines and I'll use the science as my background, my backdrop. So here we sit in 2025 and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is Secretary of HHS. Health and Human Services. And he has been very outspoken on the subject of vaccines and, well, not to mention nutrition and health in general. And can I just tell you something? I think Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is freaking awesome. And I'm not one of these people who goes around worshiping somebody named Kennedy, okay? They had a cult in the 60s, 70s, maybe part of the 80s as well. Ooh, the Kennedy name. Oh, Camelot. That isn't where I am, okay? I'm not big on royalty, okay? I do not give allegiance to the crown, no matter if it's an American crown or a UK crown. That's not your humble host. I don't like monarchs. But anyway, I'm nothing against them personally, mind you. But I think I'll buy my own cars, thank you. But anyway, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I honestly believe that he speaks the truth about a lot of stuff, including nutrition and dyes and corn syrup. And it's interesting to me that a lot of what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. talks about is actually there is a movement in America that actually predates the Make America Healthy Again, the MAHA movement, and it is what some people would call the Great Awakening. And some of the awakening is political awakening. Other awakenings are to be found in, for example, the subjects of health and nutrition. And I would like to think that I'm one of those people, and my wife has so much to do with this. I mean, she's pretty amazing. I mean, she can't drive at all. I mean, she's like an old lady driving. It's like 15 miles an hour in the Youngman. Are you serious? But she's really smart with a lot of other things. I'm going to hear about that later. But anyway, no, she's been into this for quite some time. And at first, I thought a lot of what she was saying was crazy. And then I started looking into it myself, and I said, wait a minute, Rochelle, you really know your stuff on this, don't you? Because I said this to Joe Beamer. We're going to need some new conspiracy theories soon, because the ones we've had for years are starting to be shown to be truths. And I actually do believe that. Sorry, call me crazy. It's been done before. So anyway, Robert F. Kennedy. Well, let's just hear the audio that we pulled. And look, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he's tough to hear on the radio. He's tough to hear on TV because he's got a neurological condition which affects his vocal cords, and unfortunately, that's a handicap. That in itself is a disability. You think Robert F. Kennedy Jr. doesn't wish he had a melodious voice? Of course he does, but he doesn't, and it's content more than presentation. So let's hear Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and by the way, I should point out, the mainstream fake news is saying Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is making controversial statements with no basis in fact. I've lived long enough to know that if media says something isn't a fact, it probably is. And if they say something's a fact, it probably isn't. I've become very skeptical. I've become very cynical about everything I learned in school and everything I hear in media. I don't know if you're in that club or not, but it's like, you know what? What I thought before just wasn't true. There's a different way of looking at this. And unlike our governor in New York State anyway, I don't change opinions based on, hey, I think most listeners are going to think this way, so I'm going to think this way because it's better for me. No, because I believe in authenticity, all right? So here's the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
These are kids who will never pay taxes. They'll never hold a job. They'll never play baseball. They'll never write a poem. They'll never go out on a date. Many of them will never use a toilet unassisted. And we have to recognize we are doing this to our children. And we need to put an end to it. This is an individual tragedy as well. Autism destroys families. More importantly, it destroys our greatest resource, which are our children. These are children who should not be suffering like this. These are kids who, many of them, were fully functional and regressed because of some environmental exposure into autism when they're 2 years old.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And I want you to think for a moment. Now, first of all, look, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a deep state doctor. I'm not a doctor. And I am an observer of things. And let me just tell you, Robert F. Kennedy there was not talking about everybody with autism. He was talking about people with severe impairments who are very, very high up on the spectrum. Those are the people to whom he was referring. Now, when you were growing up, how many people did you know with autism? How many of your friends said, I've got a brother or a sister who is autistic? Because I'm going to tell you, my answer was zero. In the 1960s, 1970s, 1980s, zero. I started hearing about autism sometime in the mid-1980s when I started doing this for a living. I noticed a severe spike in the number of hearings about autism that I had in the 1990s. And frankly, it's gone up ever since then. I didn't know anybody with autism, and I can't name for you one person I know or have known as an adult who has been autistic. And Robert F. Kennedy got into that the other day, and I thought that was extremely interesting because it's one of those things that I thought to myself, but I didn't really want to express out loud because I thought people would think I was super weird. But if, too late, but the HHS secretary, I mean, he's raising questions about this. So what I want to do on WBEN is I want to take this question to those of you who have kids who are autistic. And you would know better than anybody else. I have a kid, well, she's a grown-up lady lawyer now, but who has type 1 diabetes. So I understand what it's like to have a child with, you know, special needs. Although, given a choice between what you're going through and what she went through and the family went through, I'll take what we had to go through. Thank you for $500. Thank you. But why do you believe your kid is autistic? Sir, why do you believe that? I mean, usually with something like this, you would say, well, you know, it's genetic. It is a predisposition toward autism. But then you started to think, wait a minute, there was nobody in our family that had any of these disabilities whatsoever. Now, in the old days, the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s, the R word was used. And I can't tell you that anybody who was the R word in the jargon and vernacular of the time, I don't believe that they were autistic. I believe that they were developmentally impaired in many respects. One of the people I knew was actually a savant. And actually, a lot of you apparently know of whom I was speaking a few months ago when I brought up this guy. Because if you looked at a diagnosis, because every kid has to have a diagnosis now. You know that? It's like... That's what I like about Tony Soprano, the good side, not the psychopathic side. He's a 12-year-old boy. He's not a case. It's like, yeah, thank you, Tony. But anyway, the whole autism thing is it's a great mystery to me. Seriously, it is a tremendous mystery to me. And there was a time, as I said, that I just dismissed the idea that this could be, okay, let's call it an environmental cause. Cloud seeding? Let's call it an environmental situation. But is it really a vaccine situation? If you have, I just want to get on the straight and narrow road here. If you have a kid with autism, is it something that you would attribute to genetics, heredity? I mean, I'm short because my ancestors were short, except my 6 foot tall grandfathers, both of them. I got shorted on a lot, believe me. But anyway, you always think of the most rational thing first, right? And when you see a condition arise, usually it's, oh, family history. Oh, lifestyle. No, that's not really applicable, is it? And I feel really bad for blowing off people in the 90s when they would say, my kid had a series of vaccines, and after the vaccines, he started banging his head against a wall. I feel horrible about that. I didn't know any better. I truly did not know any better. But now when we have somebody in a position of power who is being attacked by the mainstream people, it makes me stand up and say, that's another one of my rules in life. I'm going to write these all down at some point. When somebody is offering an explanation for something that is common sense, or at least is plausible, I'll say plausible. When somebody's offering an explanation for a mystery and that explanation is plausible, it becomes even more plausible the more attacks they get from people in the establishment, in, well, the deep state and deep state actors, okay, and the fake news. The more they come after the person, chances are they're probably telling the truth. They certainly believe they're telling the truth, and hopefully they'll be able to prove it. But those of you who have the autistic kids, I want to finish the one story that I started. Getting back to the situation of when I was growing up, the R word was used, and we had a guy in the neighborhood who was, quote unquote, the R word. I always thought that was cruel, frankly. But he was totally a great, great human being. Absolutely magnificent and absolutely functional. Was he, quote unquote, normal? Well, would somebody tell me what normal is? I'm still trying to find that out myself. But, you know, he wasn't normal, but he was a great functional human being. Certainly toilet trained, certainly verbal, maybe not loquacious, but very verbal. And the other guy I knew was significantly older than I, and he might have been deficient in some areas, but when it came to baseball, he knew every statistic, every team from the beginning of baseball forward. Now, I believe that's called a savant. Is that a savant? There's another word that goes in front of that, but I wouldn't use that word because he's not. 803-0930. I want to get your take on this because this has been driving me crazy lately. If you have an autistic kid, to what do you ascribe that situation? Because is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. right? Have we been lied to all these years? And there's another story that the pediatricians want to take away some exemptions for vaccines. Kind of like medical tyranny, no? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Here is Scott in North Tonawanda. Scott, you're on WBEN. Hello.
Hey, hi, Tom. How are you?
Well, I'm curious, sir. I'm curious.
Well, I'll tell you. My wife, who's an educator, caught it very early in our son. And I'll tell you, had it not been for that, it's been a very difficult road for him. And we had a fight for everything when I education, because there's very little, at that time, very little services available.
How long ago are we talking? How long ago?
Well, my son is 24 now. He's graduated from college, and he's on the lower end of the spectrum. There's different ends to it, but. You know, that I don't think the school districts at that time were, you know, it was really growing, and they really didn't have the services that we thought he needed. Now,
but, you know, Scott, that's another point. Forgive my very rude interruption. I apologize. But that's another thing, too. Have you noticed how many people you meet lately who are special education teachers? We never had so many special education teachers ever. Now, suddenly, there's this tremendous demand for special education teachers. And obviously, if there's a demand, there has to be a supply of people who need to be specially educated. Why?
There's definitely a need, Tom. And, you know, I can speak to it only because we dealt with it. And again, I would say that there's nothing special about my son other than the fact that we caught it early. And we're able to get on top. What we end up doing, Tom, is sending him to Catholic school because the classes were smaller, it was more structured. And to be honest with you, he's a brilliant young man. Went out to St. Joe's, graduated in top of his class, and he was the number one in his college class at Nog University. So
Okay, this is amazing. This is a great story. I mean, this is absolutely spectacular, what you're saying. But I want to get back to, like, what we're talking about. And I do want to have a chance, give you a chance after the news to tell us exactly what you did and how you did it. But do you believe, I'm just going to ask you the money question here. Do you believe that vaccines caused your son to be autistic?
We always felt that the shot that he got long before he was born had an effect on him. And there's always that mercury discussion you have, whatever was it might be in the vaccine. But everyone we went to, no one wanted to talk about that. So we always felt that vaccines played a role in that, because no one in our family ever really had this. And truth be told, Tom, maybe back and when I was growing up, they didn't know what the identifiers were for autism. I may have had it and didn't know it.
I want you to hold on, Scott. Please hold on, because I want to find out more about the situation. If you're just joining us, Robert F. Kennedy the other day was speaking about, Junior, obviously, was speaking about, autism. And dawned on me, you know what? This is a long overdue topic that I really want to do, because I've got a different take on it now than I did back 30 years ago. And I really think that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is onto something, but I'm not going to commit, but I'm certainly a lot more open to it now than I was earlier, and probably leaning that way, frankly, that it's some environmental thing that is going on, because, you know, you've been around on this earth long enough, and you know what you saw when you were younger, and you know what you didn't see when you were younger, and we didn't even know the word autism growing up. The word spectrum was a cable company. The word spectrum was Roy G. Biv. It had nothing to do with autism. And those of you who have an autistic child, what do you think caused it? Is it genetic? Do you think it was genetic? Do you think it was, if I could speak today, life would be awesome. Was it genetic, or was it a vaccine? Was it something in the environment? This is where I'm getting lost, because I don't know. I am not happy, by the way, with what the pediatricians have come out and said just a couple of days ago. We'll get into that coming up on News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, Bowerly and News Radio 930 WBEN. You know, there sure is a lot of discussion about autism these days. And growing up, I can't think, we didn't even have the word autism. It didn't really come to be until the 1980s, as I recall, and maybe the 1990s. It really, really kind of took off. But obviously, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Secretary of Health and Human Services, is talking about this. He's gotten a lot of flack for it. And, you know, frankly, as I said earlier, when I see the fake news lining up to pour flack on somebody in a position of some power, I think to myself, oh, I guess they must be over the target. Interesting. 803-0930. What do you think is causing the autism? Let me ask you an open-ended question. What is causing the autism? 1 in 36 American kids? Autism? Wow. I don't buy the idea that, well, you see, years ago, they were basically said to be quirky, or they had their own little personalities. I'm sorry, I was a kid. I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and I will tell you something, there weren't that many quirky kids. There weren't. And I don't buy that whatsoever. Well, see, a lot of them were institutionalized. Well, that's funny, because when you get to know somebody and their families, those little things are going to come out sooner or later. I don't remember anybody saying, yeah, I have another brother, but there's something wrong with him and he's institutionalized. I know that usually it was something very serious, but this is, it's becoming an epidemic, wouldn't you say? 1 in 36? That's ridiculous. Let's get back to Scott in North Tonawanda, whose son is autistic, but has survived and prospered. And what did you do? You said that it was early intervention. Doing exactly what, other than enrolling the kid in Catholic school?
Well, again, my wife being an educator, she is, I would say, was trained in looking for those types of things when he was very, very young, you know, whether it was nonverbal or he wasn't, you know, it was very quiet, or, you know, to listen to the clip, Tom, about what Mr. Kennedy said, birthday parties, Little League baseball, going to Boy Scouts, it was all very difficult because of all the noise and all the kids running around, and that's part of the autism. It's socializing and having difficulty with that. And, you know, everyone thinks you just have a bad kid, and that's not what it was. He was reacting to what he has, which is autism. And once we identify that and you get him in a certain situation, it's a completely different kid. So there's a lot to what he's saying that's true. And I lived it. And it was always difficult to talk about. As I got older, I embraced the fact that this, you know, he's my son and he has this. And it makes him special to us. And you know what the most difficult thing was, Tom, was when he got old enough to figure out that he knew what he had. And he always thought it made him different than everyone else. And that was a struggle for him, too. But in the end, you know, I believe there's a lot more folks can be doing to help with this. But I'm not a scientist, nor do I have anything to do with science. But we always felt that that vaccine had something to do with it. So.
It's very interesting. And I frankly can't really dispute that. And I'm really looking forward to seeing the real data coming out from HHS and government agencies, because a lot of parents like you have been waiting for it for a long time. And you have to ask yourself, who benefited by hiding information? Who benefited?
Right. And I don't know if we just, you know, again, he's on the lower end of the scale. Maybe we got lucky because we identified it early. A lot of folks don't see it early enough, and sometimes it's too far down the road to reel it back in, and then you have, you know, greater issues that go on. So
just so I know, when you say lower end of the spectrum, you're talking about somebody who is basically functional but a little quirky?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. You know, he's very functional. Yeah, you would actually never even know. I know. To this day, I can see certain quirks, certain instances where it'll still, some ticks or some things will still be there. Very, very, very seldom. But he has to be in a routine, and everything has to be just so. But when you get out of that routine is when the autism will shine. Then there's the high end where you're nonverbal or you can't function, like Mr. Kennedy said, can't use the bathroom. Now, we didn't have to deal with that. But there's folks that do, and I don't know what the answer is, Tom, other than he seems to be on the right path. I would hope they would allow him some latitude to really bring this out, because we've always wondered, you know, what's the big secret?
Well, let's put it this way. Truth is its own best reward, and hopefully we will get the truth. Thank you very much, Scott. I appreciate the call. Talking about autism, and I don't think I've done a show on autism since the 1990s, and it's overdue, because Robert F. Kennedy Jr., this is one of his causes, and it's almost like, have we not been told the truth over the past several decades about possible causes of autism? And have certain people been blown off as delirious or delusional or insane, even though they were speaking the truth? And again, I must refer you to the Martha Mitchell syndrome, which is a recognized psychiatric situation where somebody is telling you something that sounds like it's absolutely crazy. It's lunatic. Turns out that they're right. Named after Martha Mitchell. You can look that up online. Here's Kathy on WBEN. Kathy, autism. What do you make of this? What do you think? What's causing it?
Well, I do believe there is a genetic component, just because there's more boys than girls, but girls seem to be showing up more. I have a young adult son who was born in 93, and I believe the shots, meaning the contents of the shots and then the quantity, because if you take some of the shots, they did have high amounts of thimerosal at the time, which is a mercury component. So if you get three shots and they add that up, because we actually went to a lawyer at one time, and he said, well, if you add up and you have three shots and then you add, you know, the quantity, it's higher than the amount of what a little body can take out. Mm. And also now there's aluminum, which, you know, how we're trying to get away from aluminum pans, aluminum this, go to back to this.
Oh, yeah, and deodorant, too.
Yeah, and there actually was a case in a Rochester hospital just this year where a young child was catching up on their shots. I don't know, you know, you don't know the scenario of why or how, but under a year age, and they got caught up, and they died within 24 to 36 hours, and the aluminum content was high in their bloodstream, but it takes forever because nobody wants to check it. Nobody wants to look. And I even looked at some of my situations with my own child, and I was like, when you asked the doctor, well, is it okay to give them 4 or 5 or 2 or 3 because they're multiple shots? Oh, yeah, nothing happens. Now, if you and I took 4 or 5 drugs, they'd be like, well, are they interacting? Do they do this? Do they do that? Or even if we all went out to dinner and we all got sick, they'd go, well, did you all eat? What did you all eat? And, you know, they would look for the
common denominator.
When you say, oh, could it be the shots? The first thing is no, and they don't even want to look there, which is a parent knows when a child changes. And the other thing is, too, is now we see parents that are taking pictures of their child on their phone from like 3 days before, and then they get their shots afterwards. And if you look on the videos, and there actually was Children's Health Defense had a whole bus that went around the country and parents talked, and they had pictures before and after, and you see the children being despondent, changing, and the only difference they had was their vaccines. Now, could it be the aluminum? Could it be the quantity? You know, because they get multiple shots, you know, because that's...
Well, then can you isolate which of the children who showed the most dramatic behavioral changes, did they all receive the same vaccine prior to those changes? Because in the United States, you probably know this already, but typically children get about 16 different vaccines and receive as many as 50 to 70 total doses, including boosters, from birth to the age of 18. And I will tell you that I have my medical records, was looking at them the other night. I did not receive that many vaccines.
No, and they were usually single shots too, so they didn't have... If you look at, there's a movie called Protocol 9 that talks about the MMR, and one of the companies had the only patent for that shot for around the world, and it shows how it actually, the end of the show, which we saw last year, it was still in court and being sued against over some of the side effects and what was going on, and you have to watch the movie to see the whole thing, but it was talking, I'm like, it's still in court? Just almost like asbestos. It took, what, 30 years?
Yeah, well, the wheels of justice grind slowly, but they supposedly grind exceeding small. Hayes and Kinch. But you can look that up, too, online. It's an interesting piece. But, you know, the thing is...
The ingredients. I think the aluminum and the formaldehyde and the thimerosal, which actually now they said they would take out in that with the new administration. But still, you know, you might take your child and give them 1 or 2 shots, and then, you know, you miss it or whatever. And they don't allow you to have titers in New York, which some they do. A titer is you look at your, you know, you have a shot, and then you have a, why would I need a booster? If I'm going to poke my child, I might as well see, do they have immunity? Do they have antibodies? Well, I'm not, why should I give them another shot if they still have antibodies? That's silly, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Kathy, this is, I think, a very important situation. You could almost call it a national security situation, because if 1 in 36 of our children in America are coming down with autism, we need a real good faith effort to determine why, with everything being open to research. And part of me wonders if, you know, we used to have a society where you went to medical school, you could hang up a shingle and be a doctor. Now, these doctors are incurring these enormous student loan debts. They go to work for enormous companies involved in the healthcare industry, and they, of course, are very closely intertwined with the pharmaceutical industry. And you kind of wonder if maybe because they have so many financial obligations that they are hesitant to tell us the truth about things. Because if they tell the truth publicly, they might lose their jobs because there's big money involved.
Yeah, there is a doctor that kind of did it on his own, not knowing what the, you know, let parents decide on his own, you know, whether they were going to hold off, whether they were going to follow the schedule, whether they're going to do that. And he noticed an income drop that he wasn't expecting. And then he went, oh, that could be why they follow the schedule. Not knowing, but the whole fact that they say, oh, it can't be that, that bothers me. That bothers me because their whole thing should be they want to find out whether it's genetic, all genetic, whether it's something ingredient, whether it's some people have a predisposition. I mean, when my son was born 30-something years ago, it was 1 in 256. Now it's 1 in 32. Well, something changed, but also the schedule went way up. And the immunity for the pharmaceuticals is there. They can't be sued. That's the other thing.
Yeah, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has talked about that. And think about this. If something, and again, this is kind of common sense, but if something is safe and effective, why would a company need protection against litigation for something that's safe and effective?
Correct.
And, I don't get it. And I truly don't get it.
No, and that doesn't even make sense. So it's frustrating as parents. We had a lot of autism groups, and even as they get older, my son's high functioning, works, does a lot of different things. But I also know parents where their child is going to be maybe institutionalized or taken care of or can't be doing anything. But we still have to pay attention with our children. You know, his sisters will kind of watch out for him because you don't know, you know, little bumps in the road happen and different things happen where, you know, I just wish they wouldn't turn their backs on it and they would look at the ingredients and the quantity. It's happened also.
Right. Point made, Kathy. I got to move on here. Thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. Talking about autism, it's a show that, frankly, I think is long overdue. And I'm spurred to do this by two things: Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and his looking at autism. And gee, what might be causing the autism wave in the United States? And our previous caller there kind of alluded to something that I think is a very real possibility. Even though I didn't back in the 1990s. Sorry, I can only use what I'm told from the scientific community, and if they get it wrong, either because they want to or because they have to or because they just got it wrong, I'm a victim of them, but I do have to accept responsibility. Talking about autism, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the Secretary of Health and Human Services, has made this one of his things, one of his agenda items, and he's been talking about vaccines for a long time, and a lot of people criticize Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for his viewpoints, but I don't know that too many parents who have kids with autism have criticized him, and frankly, they're in the front lines. And you know what? I keep on getting back to the point that the more I have learned, the more I realize I've been lied to. And a lot of what I thought was correct ain't correct. And that basically you always have to look at who benefits from any given situation you do not understand. Here is Michelle on WBEN. Hello.
Hi. Hi, Tom.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I've been a early intervention special ed teacher for 31 years in Buffalo. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay. When I first started my job over 30 years ago, I literally went several years before I even had one student with autism. Now it's three-quarters of my caseload.
It's three-quarters of what?
Of my caseload.
For special education, which encompasses a wide variety of situations. That is remarkable. So what do you think is going on? Have you noticed a common denominator, or have parents told you a common denominator?
I've had numerous parents, because I ask, once the child gets a diagnosis, I ask, you know, when did you notice these kinds of behaviors and characteristics? And probably at least half have said that they noticed after the vaccinations, the 18-month MMR vaccinations. Other parents have said that they noticed from the child when they were born, like soon after they were born, that they just weren't acting right, that they were different somehow, some way. But a lot of them have said that they started acting differently after the vaccination, within a few days, a week or so maybe. Before that, they were talking, making eye contact. They were affectionate, emotional. They were, you know, just engaging in play with siblings or other kids. And then after the vaccination, they just like shut right down.
So give me your take on what many of us thought was true in the 1990s, because media and science and the doctors told us it was true. The vaccines have nothing to do with autism. What is your take on that?
Yeah, I disagree with that. I think the vaccine and the preservative that's in the vaccine, first of all, I don't think that they're telling people the truth about a lot of the mercury-based preservatives in the vaccines, or maybe other leads that are in the vaccine. That they're that it affects certain kids. It affects a certain percentage of the kiddos. It's not
that might
all
be
of them.
More susceptible to it than exactly. other people. For example, when I got the shingles vaccine, I had a horrible reaction to it. Most people don't. I had a 106 temperature. Hold on, Michelle, if you would, on News Radio 930 WBEN. By the way, the mercury situation, you remember the expression, mad as a hatter? In the old days, people who made hats and very, very expensive garments for royalty and for just ordinary folks, they had to get through some very thick material. So often what they would do is they would dip their threads into mercury. And over time, the mercury leached into their bodies. Their bodies could simply not absorb it. And it ended up making them act as though they'd had tertiary syphilis. So that's a really severe thing to have, by the way. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I want to continue this in the next hour because I can't think of anything more important than the future and your children and getting to the bottom of this wave of autism. Look, I'm 61, and notice how I said that, like, I got to think about that. I'm 61, and I can't remember anybody with autism when I was growing up. There were two people that I met when I was a kid who were the R word. Today we would say cognitively impaired or developmentally disabled. Back then it was a crueler time. Fortunately, things have changed. But autism is something I think a little bit, actually a lot of bit different than the R word, which thank goodness is no longer in style. And I don't even like saying the R word, but I do because I'm trying to give you a generational idea of how kids anyway viewed people who were different. And looking at my memories of the people that I'd met when I was a kid who were different, none of them were different in a way that I would say as a grown-up reminds me of anything I've seen on video of autism. I think it's a totally different kettle of fish. Stay with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. Want to hear your stories and want to find out what you think has caused this, because it's off the chain, man, off the chain. Welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hey, tomorrow I've got a couple of things in mind I may do, I may not do them. One of them has to do with something I brought up earlier about young people who are Democrats and leaning socialist. Why is that the case? I have some theories. Maybe we'll get into that tomorrow. And something else. Have you ever seen somebody in a crowd of people, a public gathering, break something made of glass and just shrug and walk away, making no effort whatsoever to pick it up? And so other people step right onto it and end up in the hospital. Saw that last night. I was appalled and aghast. Things you've seen people do that just make you appalled and aghast. Maybe tomorrow. We'll see what happens. It is Bowerly at 11 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Right now, we are talking about autism. And a couple of things brought me to this topic. Number one, watching the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., talking about people who are severely impaired and very high up in the spectrum of really bad autistic disorders.
These are kids who will never pay taxes. They'll never hold a job. They'll never play baseball. They'll never write a poem. They'll never go out on a date. Many of them will never use a toilet unassisted. And we have to recognize we are doing this to our children. And we need to put an end to it. This is an individual tragedy as well. Autism destroys families. More importantly, it destroys our greatest resource, which are our children. These are children who should not be suffering like this. These are kids who, many of them, were fully functional and regressed because of some environmental exposure into autism when they're 2 years old.
And I think based on his other statements over the years and recently, you know what environmental factors Mr. Kennedy believes, Secretary Kennedy believes, are at play here. And frankly, I used to dismiss them. I don't dismiss them anymore. In fact, I probably have done a 180 on that, but I will wait for additional data to come out because I'm real big on data points before I make a final determination as to how I feel about something. But I will say that back in the 90s, somebody I knew and knew very well had a child with autism, and the wife was a registered nurse. And she picked up on it right away and immediately said it was the vaccine. And frankly, I didn't believe her. I didn't believe her because in the 90s, all I heard from the science people and the medical people was there is no evidence whatsoever that vaccines cause autism. Well, what happened? Why are we looking at 1 in 36 American kids now with autism? And that's going to be the future as well. I mean, if it's genetic, how come I didn't come across it when I was growing up? I didn't exactly lead a terribly sheltered life, you know. And the other thing that caught my attention, the other thing that caught my attention was the American Academy of Pediatrics is reaffirming its call to end non-medical exemptions for routine childhood vaccination. Translation, religious exemptions and exemptions based on individual conscience. The American Academy of Pediatrics says it continues to support medical exemptions from immunization when granted for medical reasons appropriately and believes such exemptions should be available to children because some vaccines may very well interfere with a child's processes and individual circumstances and may actually be more harm than good. But the American Academy of Pediatrics, they're concerned that the growth of non-medical vaccine exemptions is taking place. And this is an update of the 2016 policy of the American Academy of Pediatrics. Well, you know what? You can call me crazy, but if I were, let's just say this. Okay, I'm going to put myself in this position here. If I were to have my vasectomy successfully reversed, divorce my wife, and take up with some pretty young thing and say, let's have babies, baby after baby after baby. At this point, I really don't think I would do the vaccine thing. Call me crazy. I don't think I would. I really do not believe that I would. And I never used to be like that. I didn't. But something has happened. I don't know. Is it the Great Awakening? Is it Maha? Is it me losing my mind? I don't know, but I don't think I would do it. Just saying. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. So what's your story? You've got an autistic child. What do you believe caused it? Are you buying, well, it's genetic, because then you look back in your family tree. Nobody in my family or my wife's family had any kind of autism or disorder whatsoever. What are you talking about here? Well, maybe they just didn't talk about it. Maybe they just didn't diagnose it back then. Maybe they just called children quirky or individualistic. I'm not buying that. I'm sorry. I've seen video of people with autism, little kids with autism, and I know what I experienced when I was growing up, and they're two different things. We didn't have that many individual quirky kids when I was growing up. Just saying. Let's go to the calls on WBEN. Here is Toronto and Wayne on WBEN. Hello, Wayne.
Hi, Tom. Well, I'm disabled. I'm not mentally disabled. I'm blind. And I'm open-minded about what you're saying because I see what you're saying as well. And but I've had vaccines and I was not, did not become autistic. So it is interesting.
I'm going to guess that you're a little older than 34 or 40, correct?
Yes, I'm 58.
Yeah, see, what I hear from parents, and it's been a while because my kids are in their early 30s. It's been a while, but the vaccines have increased in the number of vaccines and the number of boosters, et cetera, over the years since my kids were little and certainly since you and I were little. And I will add to that, sir, that I'm actually happy that I didn't really get that many vaccines as a child because as a grown-up, anytime I've had, I'm very, very, very sensitive to vaccines. Even a tetanus shot, I will be laid up the next day, okay? The shingles vaccine destroyed me for a day. I should have been in the hospital, but I stayed home because I'm an idiot. So maybe I am somewhat disabled in that front. But basically, I don't do well with vaccines. And I think that what might be happening here is something that was suggested earlier by one of our callers, that some children may have an increased sensitivity to mercury or thimerosal that renders them more susceptible to really bad outcomes from a vaccine. I think that's an entirely reasonable point of view based on what I've personally experienced. Things that wouldn't bother you end up laying me up.
Yeah. Like, it's interesting when you talk about things that weren't discussed. Like, you know, I'm, like I said, being 58, I mean, you know, there were, I knew people who were developmentally delayed, and, you know, it was, and, you know, my mother was open about telling me. But it's always interested me, like, you know, how people maybe who were autistic or meant developmentally, but then even back, you know, in the generation of my parents and before, a lot of those people were just put away, you know what I mean? Like they weren't, they were kind of shut away from society, I guess.
Okay, but you know what? We did used to institutionalize people who were unable to care for themselves. I believe, right. And I can't prove it to you right now, but I believe that the people who were institutionalized were not as severely disabled as a rule as most people with autism, unless the autism is extremely bad, extremely high autism.
Yeah.
But I think back to growing up, sir, no way in heck it was one in 36 kids, because I knew a lot of people growing up. Nobody ever said, or nor were there any rumors or whispers of, you know, his sister is in a place. None of that.
Right. Yeah.
So just a quick question for you, sir. Blind since birth?
Yes. My blindness was caused by oxygen blindness. Like the singer Stevie Wonder has the same thing I did.
You know what, though? I mean, I obviously you seem extremely well adjusted, and I can't imagine what it's like to go through life without sight. And sight is such a valuable thing. And I'm glad that you called in, and thank you very much. Good to hear from you.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Hey, kids, seriously, when I talk about eyesight, don't ever take it for granted. I never did take it for granted. And all I can say is thank God I knew immediately when my retina detached. People thought I was nuts. I had an RN at the tail. How could you possibly know that? Trust me, my retina just detached. Doctor comes in. Yeah, your retina detached. Yeah, give me my MD degree. Yeah. All right, let's get through. The preceding was in no way an indication that I believe I'm qualified as a medical doctor. But I am great help in a crisis situation, not going to lie. Let's get back to the calls, talking about autism. And Tanner has looked this up. I actually did bring up this topic on February 4th of this year, and I have no recollection of it, which indicates to me that we probably didn't talk about it for that long. Or, choice number two, I am turning into Joe Biden. Let's go to Nancy in East. I know I did the show in the 90s. I know that. And that was an hour show from 9 until 10, where I told people they were nuts if they thought vaccines caused autism. Yeah, I did. And I'm so sorry, because I don't think I was right. And I don't know that I'm not right, but I'm open-minded, and I want to see the data. Before I totally commit, I got to see data. Here is Nancy in East Aurora on WBEN. Hello.
Hi, Tom.
Hey.
So our story is a little bit different. Our son is 33, soon to be 34. He's from South Korea. We adopted him when he was 4 months old. They did give him some shots, but they didn't give him the MMR. So you really didn't hear much back in the early 90s about it, so he had the MMR. I didn't really notice any changes to him. He was very happy. But then you could see some things happen. But I can't say it was either hereditary or from the shot. I don't really know. But we did start him in early intervention at 2.5. But the school system that we live in labeled him as EDD, emotionally disturbed, which I'm like, well, I don't know. A 2.5-year-old is emotionally disturbed? I don't know. Anyway, so he did have early intervention, and then they said, well, this is the program we have, kind of take it or leave it. So we did, because we did really like the teacher. He went to Springville. So then the next year, they still didn't have another program for him. And he went to the same teacher, but the class was definitely different. And Alex was no way similar to what their behaviors were, because he didn't have behaviors. He was developing them from that program. So finally, they found a program for him. And when we went to view it, it fit him like a glove. So we were very happy.
So how is your son doing now? And by the way, it's got to be tough adopting, because you're really not going to be familiar, especially from South Korea, with the family tree, the family history. You're not going to know.
Right. You know nothing. But so he right now he's in what they call a WOW program. It's without walls. So he is in a like a day hab, but he's not there physically. He's just there to meet the other individuals, and they go out into mm-hmm. the community.
So if people listening to this show were to meet your son, would they know immediately that he's a little different? Or
No.
Good. Then the education worked, because we want people to be included. We don't want people to be treated differently. I mean, obviously, abilities need to be taken into consideration, but everybody deserves to be treated as an individual with their own likes, dislikes, et cetera.
Yeah, right. And he couldn't hold a conversation. He does have verbal skills. He does have very good listening and understanding skills. And part of why I called, too, is when our daughter came, which was 7 years later from South Korea, I was, like, laser-focused on this. So our pediatrician was really good with us, and I explained to him about the MMR. He goes, well, what do you want to do? I said, can we separate it? I wasn't not in favor of vaccines, but I said, I don't like the combined. He said, sure. So, and he worked at Children's, so then they went to Children's, got the three vials, got the measles, gave it to her. 3 months later, I came back, gave the mumps, and then 3 months later, the rubella. He said part of why they didn't do that is because they were afraid people wouldn't come back.
Yeah, that's a lame reason. Talking about people's kids, people do anything for their kids. I don't like that rationale, quite frankly. Yeah. Maybe it has some basis in truth, but I don't know. I thank you, Nancy, very much for the call, and I'm glad that your son is doing well, and your daughter, your adopted daughter, and I'm using the word adopted between just because you did delineate that. She had no issues whatsoever with anything.
Yeah, no, she's a PA and. In the community,
awesome.
So she's got a good education. But just another thing, Alex truthfully is a blessing to our family, because we've never had a person with a disability, and he shows us a lot.
Well, in your case, a blessing. I will tell you that with a lot of families, these things can cause divorce. They can cause incredible tension and stress within a family. And, you know, I mean, look, you know this because you're in the world. I'm not.
Yeah.
But I hear about the world all the time, and it's extremely stressful. And obviously, the more symptomatic somebody is, the more stressful it is going to be. I thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Good luck to you.
Yeah.
Talking about a couple of things here, autism, and this is, to me, anyway, a very fascinating subject, because I did not realize that something like 1 in 36 American kids have some form of autism. They're somewhere on the spectrum. By the way, the expression "on the spectrum," when did that become an everyday thing that we would say? Not when you were growing up, not when I was growing up, not in the 90s. They say "on the spectrum." Why do we have to invent new words if something has been around forever? I'm confused. And, of course, NBC News. RFK Jr. makes unsubstantiated claims about autism. Well, anytime fake news says somebody's making up unsubstantiated claims, I think about what they said were substantiated claims. Hillary Clinton, Russia, Steele dossier. Bowerly, News Radio 930 WBEN. I know many of you who listen to this show really are into music, and I found something before I came on the air today. Chicago, Wishing You Were Here, live with the Beach Boys. Check it out. It is amazing. Okay, yeah, his voice cracks in one part, but so what? It's live, man. It's live. Chicago, Wishing You Were Here, live with the Beach Boys is absolutely amazing. Amazing, I tell you. It's like hearing angels sing. It's Bowerly, and talking about autism. And one of the reasons we are is because I had the opportunity to see RFK Jr. talking about people who are severely affected by very, very heavy autistic symptoms.
These are kids who will never pay taxes. They'll never hold a job. They'll never play baseball. They'll never write a poem. They'll never go out on a date. Many of them will never use a toilet unassisted. And we have to recognize we are doing this to our children, and we need to put an end to it. This is an individual tragedy as well. Autism destroys families. More importantly, it destroys our greatest resource, which are our children. These are children who should not be suffering like this. These are kids who, many of them, were fully functional and regressed because of some environmental exposure into autism when they're 2 years old.
Secretary of Health and Human Services Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And like I said earlier, I am starting to become more and more of the belief that whatever the fake news says, the opposite is true. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. makes unsubstantiated claims about autism. Well, these are the same people who told us that the claims against President Trump were substantiated. Okay. Fake news? Question mark. Also, the American Academy of Pediatrics has come out this week with a big statement saying it really wants you as a parent, for religious or conscience reasons, not to have the right to refuse having your child vaccinated. See, in my mind, that's medical tyranny. That is medical tyranny. You're the parent. It's your child. It should be your choice. And if you have a religious exemption reason, or if you have a personal conscience reason, that's your business. Not a big believer in medical tyranny. We saw a lot of that in New York State with the COVID situation, did we not? Perfectly awesome people losing their jobs because they wouldn't get the jab. And here we have parents who are being put in this position, and these parents may have perfectly fine reasons. They don't have to explain themselves to anybody. First Amendment? Maybe. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. So RFK Jr. doubling down on, hey, we got to look at environmental factors, translation, vaccines, and the pediatrics, this group of pediatricians doubling down on, we want no more religious or conscience exemptions. Medical exemptions are okay. Probably said that grudgingly. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. If you have autism in your life, I mean, what do you think caused it? And I've read everything, well, not everything. I've read a lot of what has been written about, well, how come we didn't see it back in the 60s and 70s? I'm not buying any of the explanations they give. Sorry, I was there. I was there. I lived it, baby. You did too, some of you. Here's Smith in North Collins. Hello, Smith. You're on WBEN.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Tom. Just wanted to make a few points in this discussion. First, I have small kids, 5, 3, and I got one on the way. And when we first got pregnant or whatever, did a ton of research on this based on some of the things we had heard. One of the main things that triggered us to make our decision not to vaccinate was there was a Supreme Court ruling, I think in 1986, that ruled that vaccine manufacturers would be immune from any sort of legal consequence from injuries of vaccines. And in the ruling, they used language like unavoidably unsafe. So you compare that to the messaging from the media and the science crowd, you know, trust the science. Their messaging is safe and effective. And the tyranny you brought up, that the AAP is doubling down on, is just putting parents into this. It's a control situation, and it's really uncomfortable, and it's extremely costly to go outside of the approved paths and things that they want you to do. Second point is that the adjuvants are what I've, in my research, determined to be one of the main problems. So like you brought up thimerosal earlier, that was removed from most vaccines a while back, and it was removed for a reason, because it was causing problems. And now they're using aluminum for most of the vaccines. The adjuvant is basically what, and I'm not a doctor, do your own research, talk to your doctor about this so you can educate yourself, but the adjuvants are what triggers the immune system to respond to the vaccine. And that's typically aluminum now. I think they're trying to, the only vaccines that have the thimerosal, which is essentially mercury or some form of it, are like flu shots, and they're trying to get that gone too. Another admission that vaccines are not safe. And if you look at the amount of the aluminum inside each vaccine and you start adding it up, it's a toxic level for an infant or a child. And if you compare it to other studies about what they consider a toxic level of aluminum for an adult male, you'll be shocked at how much aluminum they're putting into the body. Last point, there's another ingredient in these vaccines called polysorbate 80, and that's supposed to break through the brain-blood barrier or something to that effect, which allows a path for the aluminum, the neurotoxin, to make it into the brain. And from my understanding is it stays in the brain for and accumulates there over time. And like the caller before, you mentioned the schedule from the 90s. I was born in 86. But from the early 90s on, it went from like a handful, and I think it's up to 80 or 90 shots, all loaded with aluminum. So it's just,
okay.
It, like, those are my points in my research. I'll stop there. I know it was a lot.
Well, no, it is. And aluminum, as you know, I mean, aluminum is found naturally. Aluminum is found in the diet, in many foods. It's found in water. As people get older, it's found in medications, cosmetics, antacids, aspirin that's buffered, some deodorants, vaccines, of course, occupational exposure. And long term, it's, you know, you can accumulate a not healthy level of aluminum. And I'm sure that with a child with a smaller body and a smaller system, that they're probably affected proportionately. So, you know what? I mean, your guess is as good as mine, but I'll be very disappointed, but I won't be surprised to find out that people knew about vaccines, but there was a conspiracy of silence to stay quiet about it because the health industry doesn't make any money off healthy people, does it?
100%. Couple more points and I'll let you go. On the thing about, you know, exposure to aluminum in general outside the vaccines, you're right. Agree. Difference is, from my understanding, is when you're injecting it intramuscularly, that's a big difference in how the body handles it compared to when you're consuming it through your gut. There's natural filters and things where your body can deal with it more, from my understanding.
I don't know about that. The point that I was trying to make is simply that we do take in aluminum on a daily basis.
Oh yeah, understood. Last thing, I'll let you go. The kids they don't have a voice. That's the other thing. Like, if you compare it to like some of the reactions and injuries that the COVID vax caused when they were pushing it on all the adults, it became a lot more apparent, I think, to most people that something was happening, that there were adverse events. And because people were normal or they were some sort of like baseline state that was usual, they had this treatment and then something bad happened right after it. With a child, when they're developing, especially when they can't talk yet and they're just a little infant, there is no normal. They're developing. The kids don't have a voice. They can't say, I was normal a minute ago, and this happened after. They don't listen to the parents either, and it's easy to silence them.
And, you know, getting back to a point you made earlier, and then I will say goodbye to you, sir, but getting back to a point you made earlier, just what does common sense tell you? If something is said to be safe and effective, why does it then need protection against litigation?
Absolutely.
Air travel is safe and effective. It's not protected from litigation.
If there's a risk, there's a choice.
Yep. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. I mean, folks, just use your common sense. If it's safe and effective, how come we have to protect it against lawsuits when it isn't? And I'd say that for anything. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be a vaccine. It could be something you eat for dinner. If it's safe and effective, you don't have to protect it. Now, do you? You don't need a shield. Here's Fred in Lancaster. Fred, talking about autism, and you've got something going on in your family.
No, not really, but I have an opinion on one thing. There's an episode of the Brady Bunch where Greg comes back with the measles, and anyone can look it up, and everyone's okay with it. It's not a death sentence. Alice ends up getting it at the end, and they're playing cards, and they're all happy. When did measles, mumps, and chickenpox become death sentences to us?
That is an excellent point. An excellent point. What have we had? One measles death? I mean, I'd have to look that up, but it's got a very low fatality rate. Chickenpox actually has a higher fatality rate.
My parents took me to my cousin's house so I could get the chicken pox. I mean, come on. This is ridiculous. What they're doing is they're forcing choices upon people, and they're not looking at the ramifications of it. And, to me, there's something wrong. Robert Kennedy, have at it.
Well, I mean, again, people shouldn't be afraid of the truth, whatever the truth is. I mean, the truth may be that the vaccines have nothing to do with any of this. And if that's the case, that's the case. Then we have to figure out what exactly is causing this wave of autism. And it's I'm sorry, go ahead.
Why shouldn't parents have a choice? And you know what? Shame on the parents that don't look into it. That guy looked into it, and parents are having kids. They're not looking into it, and then all of a sudden their kid gets autism, and now all of a sudden they got a case. They're mad. But why not look into it ahead of time? Why do you have to wait till your kid gets this thing for you to realize to get autism that that's what caused it?
Well, I'm going to steal a line from Tony Soprano here. It's not a case. It's a child. I thank you very much. I appreciate it. I don't think you disagree with that. Thank you very much. Actually, I take back what I said. Measles, actually, around the world in less developed countries, supposedly kills about 2.5 million people a year. Chickenpox, up to 9,000 people a year. My information originally was wrong, but I immediately corrected it when I realized it. I will say, though, that if you get chickenpox as a grown-up and you didn't have it as a kid, you could be in for a world of not fun times. Been there, done that at 35. My parents never took me to a chickenpox party, damn them. anyway, let's go to Brenda on WBEN in East Buffalo. Brenda, you are on, talking about autism and Secretary Kennedy, et cetera, and the pediatrician saying, we don't want people to have religious exemptions. We don't want people to have conscience exemptions, only medical exemptions for their kids and vaccines. Medical tyranny is what I call it.
Hi, Tom. It's been a while. Yeah. I don't agree with everything that Robert Kennedy says. I worked with handicapped. I worked with the developmentally disabled in my first 12 years and really the length of time that I was in education. And I worked with the children that were developmentally disabled at a school that was specialized for that. And there was a public law during that time which took the kids out of the institution and placed them within the school system. And that's what produced a lot of influx of teacher aides coming in, because it was to help with a lot of the students that were being mainstreamed into the school. Now, they do turn out a lot of children, even with autism. I did work with autistic children, and even those did become productive. It's who you work with and how well you are, the person is working with you is able to, you have to have a passion to do it, to actually get them to actually produce a lot more. I've seen some of my students like work in Wegmans and different places. I've even been on a board and seen one of my students that actually got a grant awarded for what they wrote up. And that was a developmentally disabled child. I'm going back to autism. Autistic students are I can kind of almost tell a student or a child that has a disability just sometime by the way they look at me and the way they act. And I can be sitting somewhere seeing some a child staring at me all the time or something like that.
Because you're trained, I presume, to understand the symptoms, signs, and indicators of a potential disorder. Brenda, I wish I had more time to talk to you, but I do not, and I'm glad that you called in. And next time, call earlier so we can get you on earlier, okay?
Okay, sure.
Thank you, my love. Thank you, Brenda. Yeah, Brenda's a sweetheart. But you know, I don't agree with what she said, that these people had been institutionalized and then they were mainstreamed, because I was alive then. And that didn't happen, at least not with anybody I knew. And I knew a lot of people. We all did when we went to grammar school, didn't we? I think there's something going on. I would like to know what is causing it. I don't know what is causing it. But at least with Secretary Kennedy, I believe that once and for all time, we should get real answers on environmental factors behind the wave of autism. Is it vaccines? Is it climate change? Man-made climate change? What is it exactly? Boy, tell you something. If they could lay man-made climate change on it, you never know what could happen. Anyway, I want to thank Tanner Saunders for magnificent work today. And don't forget, you music lovers out there, be sure to listen to Chicago, Wishing You Were Here, live with the Beach Boys, online tonight. You will thank me tomorrow. You won't get the song out of your head. Stay with us because Tom Puckett is coming up next with Buffalo's Evening News, 6 to 7. Everything you need to know on a Thursday on News Radio 930. WBE. Wait for it. N.